You are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee, 104.1 FM, and RiverWestRadio.com globally. I'm your host, NTSC. Welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. Hey, if we're against so much, what do we actually stand for? The ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society would look like while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. Having said all that, even though the device on which you're listening right now probably wasn't free, the radio waves to which you are listening are. However, WXRW does cost money to operate. To that end, you can always visit the station at 824 East Center Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and purchase a hat or a mug or a t-shirt, and all of those proceeds will go directly to supporting the station. Or if you really like some of the programming that you're hearing here on WXRW, please reach out and become an official underwriter. Every little bit helps. And now you can also dial into River West Radio on your smart speaker of choice. Just tell your listening device to play WXRW River West Radio. We are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Today's show is all about time. So the Anti is generally against the thing that the show is about. How on earth can I be against time? Right? Time is just a simple fact of physics. It's necessary for very basic calculations that you may recall from school, like distance equals speed multiplied by time, right? So time is immutable, factual, existent. Well, today's show isn't going to make a case against time. My aim today is to lay bare how time as a basic physical construct has been manipulated against our best interests, or our perception of it has been altered to such an extent that it rules every second of our lives. Did you see what I did there? Consider that a little teaser.
When a society becomes too focused on Chronos, I think they lose their sense of Kairos. You know, Chronos is one of the two Greek words for time, right? Chronos means time of the clock. What time is it, right? It is noon, it is three, it is seven, right? Kairos is, were you in the right place at the right time? What's the right time to tell your dad you crashed the car? Oh, that's not the right time for that, right? It's not the right time because it's seven or because it's eight. It's not the right time because his emotional mood and the way things are. No, you are going to write a better article at a certain hour of the day than at another one, at a certain day of the week than another day. And do we have even an employment structure that allows us to have the right time, you know? Or are we gonna just, you know, give all our bloggers Adderall and stick them in a room and tell them to just churn out more shit? Now, when we switch to digital time, we get this sense that all time is generic. It's like all, it's just numbers. There's not a different portion of the clock. It's not like this is night and that's day. There's this sense that everybody is on all the time. I can ping you, you can work at night, you can work a day. But what happens to people when they're working at night and day, when they're treating time interchangeably? Is they screw up everything, right? They end up with greater stress, they end up having to take Prozac, they end up not getting the right melatonin balance. I mean, even our primitive understanding of biological clocks shows their contours to the timescape, right? That when you ignore them, you do so at your peril. It's why, you know, people on night shifts or doing shift work end up getting sick a whole lot more than people who are sort of on the regular day schedule.
That was the graphic novelist Douglas Rushkoff. There are a lot of really great quotes and resources on and about time when you seek them out. Here's another really great quote of Rushkoff's on the subject. He says, "Time has always been used against us on a certain level. The invention of the clock made us accountable to the employer, gave us a standard measure and stopwatch management, and it also led to the requirement of interest-bearing currency to grow over time, the requirement of the expansion of our economy." We're going to need to talk more about the fallacy of perpetual growth, at least as it relates to the economy, probably in a later episode. Today, we're just going to be focusing on time. Kronos and Kairos. I really like his analogy there. Let's study how we are ruled by the clock. Our whole lives are obviously dictated by measurements of time. And it starts from the very beginning of our lives. It starts at birth. At what time? On what day? In what year were you born? How old is your baby? Oh, she's 3 weeks tomorrow. We start counting down our lives as quickly as we can. I'm 10 years old in first grade, you know, or whatever grade you're in when you're 10. I turn 18, and now I can vote. Now I can have sex. Now I can consent. Now I can smoke. I turn 21, and now I can drink, because 21 is the correct number of days, hours, and seconds for a human being to be able to responsibly ingest alcohol, even so much as a second before your 21st birthday, and you're liable to abuse alcohol and become an alcoholic. You know, and of course the good news is there are no alcoholics over the age of 21, because that's the age of reason. Right now I'm 25 and I can rent a car, because anyone under 25 is irresponsible with vehicle management. Now I'm 40 and I'm in middle age. Now I'm 60 and I'm old. Now I'm 90 and I get congratulated for just drawing breath. And then you die. We are so eager to count down the years of our allotted time on this earth until death. That in and of itself is a very subtle form of tyranny. What anxiety we all have, centered entirely around our age and how old we are. We hate being too young, because when you're too young, you can't do anything. You have no rights or agency or say at all in how your time is spent. And of course, we hate getting older and witnessing the deterioration of our body as it revolts and rots around us. And when you're young, you have no rights. And as you get older, you have no desirability, because our society is so obsessed and focused on youth. And it's all slipping through our fingers so quickly that before you know it, you're not young and desirable anymore. And obviously, you know, in our extremely lookist, sexist society, it's so much worse for women, to the extent that it's joked about frequently and regularly. You know, actors in Hollywood, you can be a Jack Nicholson and basically look like a shriveled prune scrotum, and you'll still get romantic leads. And, you know, the second an actress turns 40, well, now she just has to be the mom character from here on out, and she's no longer sexually desirable. So that kind of tyrannical, you know, time-based social currency is so insidious. I'm going to use this opportunity, because I just said a very interesting phrase. I'm going to use this opportunity to talk about how we talk about time. What do you do with time? You spend it. Time is a currency for us. We are allotted 24 hours in a day. What do we really get to do with them? We're told we need to spend 6 to 8 hours of those 24 sleeping. Many of us get a lot less than that, thanks entirely to anxiety based only on the clock and its inevitable march towards obligation and responsibility. you know, I need to get up at 6 in time to make coffee or to make tea, in time to brush my teeth or take a shower, if you allow yourself that time, in time to get dressed, in time to spend in traffic, getting to the place where I spend 8 hours of my day, 5 days a week in pursuit of what? What are we spending our time on? It's your currency to spend. It belongs to you. Yet, are you allowed to spend it how you want? Of course not. It's stolen from us. Or, you know, in this system, you could say we sell it. We sell it to our employers. I'll use this opportunity. Yeah, the anarchist George Woodcock has a really lovely essay called The Tyranny of the Clock. I'd like to read a few excerpts from it now as it pertains to the working class and our precious, precious time. George Woodcock writes, "Socially, the clock had a more radical influence than any other machine, in that it was the means by which the regularization and regimentation of life necessary for an exploiting system of industry could best be attained. The clock provided the means by which time, a category so elusive that no philosophy has yet determined its nature, could be measured concretely in more tangible forms of space provided by the circumference of a clock dial. Time as duration became disregarded, and men began to talk and think always in lengths of time, just as if they were talking of lengths of calico. And time, being now measurable in mathematical symbols, became regarded as a commodity that could be bought and sold in the same way as any other commodity. The new capitalists, in particular, became rabidly time conscious. Time, here symbolizing the labor of workers, was regarded by them almost as if it were the chief raw material of industry. Time is money became one of the key slogans of capitalist ideology, and the timekeeper was the most significant of the new types of official introduced by the capitalist dispensation. In the early factories, the employers went so far as to manipulate their clocks or sound their factory whistles at the wrong times in order to defraud their workers a little of this valuable new commodity. 19th century religion and morality played their part by proclaiming the sin of wasting time. The introduction of mass-produced watches and clocks in the 1850s spread time consciousness among those who had previously merely reacted to the stimulus of the knocker-up or the factory whistle. In the church and the school, in the office and the workshop, punctuality was held up as the greatest of virtues." George Woodcock wrote that in 1944. Back here in 2018, the practice continues in full swing. You're reading articles, I'm sure. Workers in Walmart and Amazon are all well aware of the tyranny of the clock. Amazon employees can be docked, fined, reprimanded, chastised, or outright fired for what Amazon refers to as time theft. When employees have the audacity to rest or use the bathroom, Amazon employees have actually taken to relieving themselves in bottles so as not to be yelled at for time theft. Or sometimes they'll opt to just not drink fluids at all before or during their shift, which is obviously extremely dangerous in practice, especially when you consider the exhausting, rigorous conditions of working for such a company that has so little regard for their employees as human beings. So in the capitalist mode of production, you sell your time at a cost determined entirely by your employer. Defenders of the free market would argue that you can sell your time at whatever cost you desire because you can choose your employer. And that's BS, so obviously. Did you know there used to be a maximum wage? Yeah. Governments hated the poor so much that there was a maximum wage over which no employer could pay, lest it be considered a handout to the employee. So there's no maximum wage anymore, but obviously there's a federally mandated minimum wage. the minimum wage, as we all know by now, has in no way kept pace with the cost of living. How much is an hour of your life worth? With a resource as finite as our lives, the seconds and the minutes and the hours of our lives, a very dwindling resource to be sure, can there be a fair cost? Can there be a fair price for you to sell it at? Is it the federally mandated minimum wage of $7.25? $7.25 for an hour of your life. What can you buy with that? Let's do the math. After an 8-hour shift, you know, a standard day, and mind you, the standard 8-hour shift is not the norm anymore, okay? But anyway, after an 8-hour shift at $7.25 an hour, you've earned exactly $58. Take taxes out of that. Depending on your bracket, it's going to be 10 or 12%, most likely, if you're working a minimum wage job. So remove taxes, now you've got about $50 for an entire day's labor. What can you buy with that? What is worth that? Was it worth your time? I argue that we are devaluing the moments of our lives so severely as to loudly declare our whole lives as basically worthless. If you're just joining us, you are listening to WXRW River West Radio, 104.1 FM, and riverwestradio.com globally. This is The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. I am your host, NTSC, and this week we are talking about time, temporality, the tyranny of the clock, and how devious its control of us is. So we were just talking about the minimum wage and how earning roughly $50 a day for an entire day's work is so depressing that we are essentially declaring our lives as being worthless. So it's really obvious to see how ruled we are by the tyranny of the clock and temporality as a whole. When we're discussing jobs and employers, that's very easy to see how our time is being stolen from us. But the level to which the clock has invaded our very sense of self and our interpersonal relationships is even more insidious than that. Because our time is so rationed, and because we are only guaranteed 2 days of rest in any given 7, we drive ourselves crazy thinking of how we're going to spend those precious fleeting moments. You know, we try to figure out how can we maximize our fun, our leisure, our experiences with the people we love in those 48 hours. Well, guess what? You'd be surprised. It's very difficult to maximize your leisure when you are painfully, excruciatingly aware of every minute passing you by, marching you faster and faster to the work week where you have no control over your time. And any control you do have is entirely at the mercy of your employer. You know, everything you do within that time is dictated entirely by the whims of your employer. So let's say you work a traditional week, Monday through Friday, and you have Saturday and Sunday off. And mind you, that as a schedule is becoming less and less common as a working week for most people, because don't forget, 80% of Americans work in the service sector, and they work on Saturday and Sunday. They have to. Okay, but let's assume, for the sake of argument, just to make it easy, that Sunday is your last day off before your work week begins. Do you really enjoy Sunday? Is it awesome? No. Definitively, no. Sunday is the worst day of the weekend. Sunday is almost impossible to really fully enjoy because Monday looms like a specter. Like, Monday looms like death itself. And it is a kind of death. I really like using phraseology as examples here. We talk about a work-life balance, right? Because we all inherently know and realize and recognize that work is not life. Work is death. Work is the death of your agency, your self-actualization, and your freedom. So the clock creeps into our minds, even on our days off. You know, we're chunking it up. We're allotting it. I can spend this much time having coffee or tea before we need to run errands. We really shouldn't have slept in. Now we've wasted the day. You know, time is something that can be wasted. What a ridiculous notion. And of course, our sense of time even dilates and changes according to our mental state. There's a saying, time flies when you're having fun, you know? And of course, time drags when you are literally wasting your life at, you know, a job you hate with people who aren't your friends or your family. We are robbed perpetually of our enjoyment of time. When it's nice outside, and especially here in Wisconsin where we have, you know, 8 months of really just lousy weather, typically, you are, if you're like me at least, you are painfully aware of every single beautiful day you are forced to spend inside. This is just anecdotal, but on the days that I have off, if I go into a store or a restaurant or literally any place of work for anyone else, I can't help but feel a little like garbage because I'm not working and all of those people are trapped there. You know, so when you're checking out of that business, whatever business that may be, you're paying your bill, you know, you're checking out at the cash register, whatever it is, and you wish that employee, you know, with whom you worked a good day, they're always polite, obviously, because their job forces them to be, but you can tell they'd rather not be there. Of course they wouldn't, you know? Our time is a precious, fading, finite commodity, or it has been made into a commodity without our having any input in the discussion. Did you commodify your time? Did you commodify your body? No. It was all done for you on the day you were born. The world looked upon you, a defenseless, helpless human baby with potential, and deemed your worth as a collection of work hours before retirement, or more likely death, since retirement is a pipe dream for most people now. And even the concept of retirement is absurd and depressing. I spoke earlier about youth and how much value is placed on youth. Yet those years of youth are the years the capitalist class values most highly. You know, young backs, young legs, young spirits are strong and durable and malleable, and you don't have to pay them very much. So we are expected to sell the hours of our days to the capitalist class for the whole duration of our youth. We are expected, and it is normalized behavior, to sell the days of our lives when we are strongest to ruin our bodies through forced labor or forced inactivity, as the case may be, depending on whether you work in a very physical job or whether or not your job forces you to be, you know, docile and sedentary. We fight every day to achieve some pittance or stipend when we are too old and injured from years of structural violence to enjoy ourselves. And this is the system under which we labor. This is how our lives are constructed, weighed, and measured without our consent. And it's really kind of gross. If 18 years of age is the age at which you are capable of consenting to sexual activity, then really what we're saying is, you know, 0.001 seconds after being born is the age at which we are able to consent to literally having the terms of our whole lives dictated for us. Does that make any sense to you? If a 17-year-old cannot consent to sex, then a literal newborn baby certainly cannot consent to the commodification of their every waking second to the advancement of capitalist causes. So here on The Anti, we try to come up with solutions to some of the issues that we face from episode to episode. So how can you reclaim your time? Really the only thing that we have afforded us, you know, we'll talk more about property, but you don't own anything, especially in this world. You know, the capitalist class will take everything they can from you. And also ownership itself is just a ridiculous construct that doesn't actually exist. Your time is all you have. Your time, your life is literally the only thing that you have. Who you are is what you have in this world. So how can you reclaim that time? The time that is being so quickly stolen from us, or, you know, we're being forced to sell at what amounts to slave wages. Well, this is where any other traditionally quote unquote liberal show would talk about unionizing, you know, collective bargaining. Obviously, the 40-hour work week was only won through the actions of unions. The 8-hour work day was only won through the activities of unions. I think, again, that is a cheap concession. Unionizing is great. Fighting for workers' rights is great. But the end goal should not be spending the same amount of our lives earning a little bit more money, nor should the end goal be conceding fewer days of our lives to the production of useless goods, to the service of some ridiculous product or some ridiculous, you know, service or company that in no way improves the lives of anybody except, you know, shareholders. All of that to me is a very cheap concession. I think rather we should fight to have every day of our lives under our control. We should fight for true agency, for true self-determination. And that is not achieved through bargaining. That is not achieved through groveling and asking for more rights or more time. That is achieved by taking our time back. I mentioned striking in one of the earlier episodes. Striking and direct action of that kind is the only means through which you can take back your time forcibly, because it is yours. No one else can lay claim or stake a claim to your time, because your time is your life on this planet. So as much as possible, I think non-participation in these systems through municipalism is going to be the only course that we have. Neighborhoods are going to need to band together and support one another to the extent that we can finally begin to reclaim the time that has been stolen from us and gift it to one another, that we may actually spend our lives doing what we want to do, serving ourselves, serving our actual neighbors, our actual friends and communities, and just realizing the best version of yourself, or whatever version of yourself you want to pursue, because none of us in this structure actually has that capability, unless of course you're extremely rich, because, you know, the math just works out to the more money you have, the more freedom you have. Thank you for tuning into The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I am your host, NTSC, and I'll be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti, and more information about the show can be found on riverwestradio.com.